birth for everyone that's turning up and a difficult night to come. Because lots of simchas, it's good night. Okay. So we're discussing what's the status of government money and government assets. And Rav Moshe says clearly, Moshe Feinstein says clearly, they belong to the nation people, and if you steal from them, or you damage the government assets, then you're stealing from the people, like you're stealing from anybody else. But we're concentrating on understanding what Romer Brandstorfer's Hagdarah, what exactly does he hold? So we know he holds that government assets, grain, he understands as belonging to an entity which is not human at all, which has no chiyuvim of mitzvahs, and lechora therefore there's no halachas of mazik or stealing maybe involved. But these are, of course, we've already limited it. We're only talking about government assets which haven't yet been given over for the people to use. So we're not talking about the streets and the public paths, which already now come under ownership of a human entity called the nation people. We're talking about, they're still in the hands and only in the hands of the government authority. Okay, that's the opinion. And we had left off, which we want to concentrate on trying to answer this week. Apparently, it seems to be a stira in what Rav Nissen Karelitz, I have a foolish name, Makarov. What Rav Nissen Karelitz's opinion is. On one hand, he says clearly, telephone siburi, a public telephone, which is broken. And now you can use without paying. He says, also to use. And because you're using government money, assets, without paying, it's called gezel. That fits very nice with Rav Moshe Feinstein.
It's nice with the other one too, because it's already been given over to the seaborn.
No, because what you're using, you're not, no problem using the telephone, the problem is they're not paying. That means the coffers are not getting their money. Whose coffers? Government. Nothing to do with people.
I thought we limited his definition to only stuff he has been given over yet.
Correct.
So once it's been given over to the Sibor to use the phone.
The phone, yeah, but the problem is that the, what do we say, the streets, for example. You're not allowed to go on the streets, these physical streets, without following certain rules. Correct? So you're stealing from.
And don't use the phone without following certain rules.
No, you're allowed to use the phone. As long as you pay afterwards. So at the end of the day, who's not getting their money? Not that you can't use the phone. That's not how they set up. You can use the phone as long as you pay. The problem is you're restricting the government's bank accounts. Okay? And he says more than that. Somebody lies in order to get money from the government, which is not due according to the rules. But it's also according to everyone because they're lying. But he goes further and says, not only because they're lying, it's called gezel. And that, for sure, to say those words, doesn't fit with Romer Brandstorfer. He says it's also because of lying. It's also for other reasons. But to say it's gezel, that's the words of Rav Moshe Feinstein, not Romer Brandstorfer. That's clearly talking about the money you're getting from the government. What is the Romer Brandstorfer? Gezel. To say gezel, it's not owned by a human being. It's an entity which has no human definitions to it. No, it's a mazik, no gezel to it. So why are you calling it gezel? Why is it called gezel? It's called sheker. It's called Ganeva's Das. It's called Chilul Hashem. But it's not called gezel. You're stealing what? Money that has no ownership owned of it, which has halachas of gezel.
But
why call it gezel?
It's already been designated.
No, designated means not just designated. I'm going to give it to the people. Everything means it's actually physically given and they are using it. It's a street which they have physically walked on. They now have ownership of it. That's what. Designation doesn't mean anything. It's
money they're using.
Like grain. Grain is being designated to people. But it's nothing. It's not people. It's nothing. It's called belonging to entity. It's designated for people. Nothing.
The money is being used as soon as it reaches the government's hands.
Fine, but this money which I'm stealing is not. It's not being used.
The government is doing something with this, either lending it out to someone.
But kol zman, they haven't given over for a human being actually to physically hold it, it's theirs, which is entity owned, which is entity means non-guest.
Money today is not a tangible object. Nobody will ever hold it physically.
So therefore, therefore, every government's money, by definition, means it's not being given over to ownership.
Where did he get this hiluk from, that when it's used, it is money?
Because we see that from the Gemara. The people have to make a kinyan on it. People have not made any kinyan on money, which is in government.
Kinyan or use?
The use is a kinyan.
Why can't I make a kinyan without the use?
You can't make a kinyan and something which I haven't yet got. Kinyan is halacha, hazaka,
mishicha. If somebody wires money to my account,
what's his wire bitch? It's yours.
What's the kinyan? It was no maisa. It was an electronic signal that he told somebody.
He's created his chayvus between you.
He hasn't created anything.
No, he's created his chayvus between you and the bank.
So the government has created his chayvus in the bank. They put their money in the bank.
No.
Their money is in the bank. No. The second they get it.
Holding for them. Nothing to do with people. Nothing for them. Nothing for individual.
For them to spend.
No, so therefore, and them are
earning money for
them. And they are entity. Holding for an entity, a robot. Something which is not human. Nothing. Kulum. Gornish. It's not the chlal in the parsha of Gezel, because you're nothing, not dealing with a human being.
And if there's no kinyan, that means it still belongs to the original owner.
Actually,
until there's a kinyan, it belongs to somebody. Unless it was Mufker. It was never Mufker.
That's what we're learning. We're learning that it's in the status of.
But where does that come from? Where did you get that from? It can't be.
What's it mean? If you first start, you miss. How many shim you missed?
One.
Yeah. So please listen to that shir, because that whole shir explains how it is.
Okay.
So. Fine. So.
Oh, you never gave it to me.
Okay.
You have to email it to me.
You have to remind me.
Okay. Fair enough.
So, that's Rameh Branzel's opinion, and it's clearly Moshe Feinstein's argues, and it seems to be from this regard, is also going with Moshe Feinstein. On the other hand, Nissen does say the final one, Gimel. You're allowed to take interest payments, clearly because of money owed to you, which is normally ribbers, from the government's coffers, because government is not a human being, it's not any isurim of ribbis involved, because they're not human at all.
That's independent of Moshe's cheshbon in ribbis?
Independence. He says clearly because it's Ole Bovel, and Ole Bovel, which is the whole source of Reb Ansel for that week, is an entity. It's not human at all. So it's a ribbis b'chlal. So we asked, and the question is that, but you said it belongs to the people. And now you say it doesn't belong to people, it belongs to the entity. Seems to be a steer. That's something. Now we're coming to answer that steer this week with a cheshbon, a real realignment and definition of what exactly Rameh Branzdorf shitta is.
Based on that, I'm sure I'm going to say it's not the direction you're going in, but maybe one way to explain it is that really he's possibly like a Moshe, and by Ribbis, there's a special din by Ribbis.
Yep, you could say that if you just say the halacha, but the words he says by the Ribbis, he says it belongs to Ole Bovel. Ole Bovel is not human, it's an entity form, and there's no Shiloh Ribbis involved. If you just say Ribbis is Mutzah, I say, okay, it's because of a, like you said, special din of Ribbis. So, how are we going to answer this? So, we're going to go off the points with a few shilas which seem not related to this at all, and come out with a yesod which we're going to use to explain and redefine what Rameh Branzdorf should think is. Maisa Shahoya Kachai. Reuven has a parking lot, a chaniya, and it starts bubbling with water coming out from stones. They call it installatzin. Installatzin says there's a pipe leak in your parking lot. You need to dig up everything and find the leak wherever it is and fix it. He gives his price, very expensive, and Reuven's not interested in using such an expensive installatzin, so he goes to his local Muhammad.
This is his private parking lot?
Yeah. No, it's not private parking lots. It's parking lots. It's a parking lot which belongs to the building. So Muhammad comes and he performs his work. He digs a hole and he puts the certain demarcations around the hole, and it's already dark and he has to go home. So now it's dark and it's not very, can't really see it. And somebody falls into that hole and breaks their neck. So we have a bar, the Rishus Sarabim. Question is, who can you make your claim against?
Muhammad?
Or the person who hired Muhammad to create, to do the whole? So let's go straight into it. So the Gemara Baba Kama says the following.
But Muhammad probably held it was a mitzvah. So.
Okay. Number two. Muhammad has been hired by a Jew to dig a hole in his parking lot, a public parking lot, because it's leaking. There's a pipe there that needs to be fixed. So Muhammad digs a hole and goes home at night, and somebody falls in, breaks their leg.
I guess he didn't cut them.
Correct. So who's liable? The one who hired him or Muhammad? Who can you get your payment from?
Well, you can't get your payment from Muhammad.
Who can you halachically make a claim against, okay, whether you get your payments in the number? Okay, so that's the pashas. Let's see the pashas in the Gemara. Baba Kama, Daf Nun Aleph. Baba Kama. Rishus Rabim, bar. You have a Rishus Rabim, and there's a bar shal shusufim. And the Mishnah says you can have a situation where a bar is still dug in Rishus Rabim, which is a mazik, that belongs to two partners, and both of them are responsible. How can you have a hole belonging to two people? How can you have it? If they ask somebody to dig it on their behalf, we want a hole, you dig it for us. That's the shliach. Zil korele. Doesn't work to make it their responsibility, because ein shliach l'davar aver.
That's only by another Jew.
Correct, we'll see. That means the guy who dug it, it's his hole, not the guy who sent it. Ein shliach l'davar aver. Second point, so I know that Rambam says, Ein Yisrael Nasi Shliach L'Akim, and vice versa. A goy can't act as an agent for a Jew, halakhically, and a Jew can't act as an agent for a goy. That's out from Hilchos Trumas and Maisis. So with those two facts in mind, let's look at what's here. You sent a goy to dig a hole in Rishus Rabim. It should be related only to the goy for two reasons. One, Ein Shliach L'Davar Aver. So you can't relate it to me who sent it, it's you that dug it. And secondly, you're going, you can't act as an agent for me, so it doesn't relate to me who sent it. But so two reasons we should say the whole is under responsibility and solely the responsibility of Muhammad. He dug it, and he can't act as an agent for me for two reasons. That's what we should be saying superficially based on these halakhos.
By not hiring the reputable company and going to Muhammad instead.
So what claim can you make under not being a nice person and directing the wrong person to make a hole? Fine. What claim and halacha?
Grammar,
fine. So you can make money on grammar.
Fine.
I want to get money. I don't want to. I want to get the money from him.
The Rambam say in this world, not to shliach l'akum, even by monetary matters or just by your there?
Yeah. Any time when you want to relate an action to him, it says you can't be related. Any, even monetary matters. Yeah. Kinyonim is different. So the Chora, the Muhammad who dug the hole, he's responsible. Should be responsible. And you.
Can assume that.
Yeah, can assume that. Fine. Fine. Let me ask you this question. A question for my good friends over here.
Friends is the answer.
Not yet. Is it an aveira for a goy to dig a hole in a Rishus HaRabim? Yes or no?
No.
Okay.
Well,
it's only a Jewish law.
I mean,
it's
only 7 mitzvahs they know
of.
Yeah,
but that would include that. This
was what's the aveira? What's the aveira? What's the aveira for a Jew to dig a hole in Rishus HaRabim?
It sounds like
a rabbi. No. So, Mepharshim explain. What's the Issa of Mazik? What's the Issa of Mazik? What's the Issa of Mazik?
That's a big discussion. But it's
what's
not even
the Issa? Mazik, you have to pay, but what's the Issa to do it? Okay. What? A hafta lerecha kamilcha. Now, if there is a hafta lerecha kamilcha, does that hafta lerecha kamilcha, which is written in the Torah, does that apply to a goy?
No.
Okay. So, is it? So, what's the issa for goy to dig a hole in the Rishus HaRabim? What's the issa?
Once
you
put
the
tayver, for a goy.
The issa. Yeah. What is it? Now, anything you say, well, it's written in the Torah, it can't apply to goy, because the Torah is it.
He would have killed somebody. So he
indirect. Is it also for goy to kill? Correct. Even indirectly to kill. Correct.
Even Bishogah.
Yeah. But he didn't kill. So what's the issue just to dig a hole?
You said somebody followed him.
Well, yeah, correct.
He didn't die.
Yeah. Now, let's add a bit. Let's say the law says, Dina Machus, the dinner says, you can't leave, have a hole. Maybe we're going to discuss this, but not this week. Maybe Dina Machus, the dinner create also Isurim. Not just rules to follow, but Isurim. Discuss that another time. But I set up a scenario like this. The goy follows the rules of the country of how to dig a hole and what precautions to take. But it doesn't fulfill the requirements according to the Torah how a hole has to be looked after. Has the goy done an issa? He has filled all the rules. But if a Jew does that, fulfilling all the rules, but not fulfilling the requirements of the Torah, he has done an issa.
What is
that? Okay. After Rechel Kabofa, it says we dig a hole, you have to do this. This hole has to be guarded in such a fashion. And in order they said, digging a hole when you're looking for, yeah, you're allowed to dig a hole. You're following all the rules. There's a leak there, I have to dig a hole. I have to get to the hole, I have to get to the pipe, I have to do it.
It's dini.
What? But dini means according to dini Malchus HaDinah. Even if I'm saying that's why you followed the rules, but you haven't followed the requirements according to how halacha defines a hole has to be guarded. So then what you have is a situation like this. You sent a goy to do an issa for you, which is not an issa for him. What's the halacha in such a case? Does his actions relate as if you've done it? Or it's solely his responsibility, and you can only make claims against him, and he'll get off the hook.
He didn't send him to do an issa.
Yes, I did. I told him to dig a hole. Yeah,
you didn't tell him how to cover it. You wanted him to cover it.
Dig a hole in a fashion where it will be left open in such a halakhic way, which is not acceptable.
Well, the help of Shabbos, don't we say, you can't tell a goy to do something. But if you tell a goy to...
That's a dinner problem.
But if he
that's a dinner of chumrah.
And he by his own svara chooses to do it in an usher way.
Right, it's not usher. I'm telling him, dig a hole, make a hole here, and get it fixed. This is what I want. I'm instructing him specifically, not his own svara.
And he on his own svara chose not to cover it.
No, I covered it according to the rules. Because you're allowed to make a hole in the chadiya to get the things. There's no issue of stealing here. No stealing. How are you supposed to fix a broken pipe? You have to dig a hole. Yeah, but so they didn't get in time. He follows all the rules of the country. He's going to put it back. It's just something fell in the between time. He's nothing. There's no problem of putting it back. He's going to put it back. Very good. So now, very good. Divrei Talmud, Divrei Rav, Mishuim. If you got.
Are you saying that if a guy injures someone, it's not
his fault? We're discussing that then. I brought that up as a topic we're going to discuss whether the law of the Lord's country, I guess. Torah law. We have to see. But we're talking about where they're following the rules. Of course. He has to pay. Maybe. Yes, it's Chayv Misom killing.
No, the Chayv.
No, killing.
Is
the
Chayv a Jew?
Okay.
He's Chayv.
We'll see. Very good question, we'll see. But it's not specifically relevant. I just brought it up, something to keep your heads thinking about this. Now, so we've got this situation. I said something to an avera for me, which is not avera for him. So, let's move to our next case, which is exactly the same setup. Maybe. And see what halacha says. Ends up being his opposite, but see the thing. I go to a yid. Yeah. Have I said that before?
Sure. Does damage to a
chipper. Fine.
It's a sure.
Because the Torah says that you make, can make it, it doesn't say it's osa, because I think isurin, not pain. Yeah. Payment is simply different from isurin. Okay. Concentrate on isa. Okay. Maisa shohei kachai. Reuven goes to a yid. He's going on the plane, this yid. Reuven says to this yid, I want you to buy a whiskey bottle for me, and don't take any achrayas. If you lose it, doesn't matter. But here's money, buy it. Problem is, it's Pesach. It's not a religious Jew that's been asked to perform the issa of acquiring chometz on Pesach. A religious Jew. Facially religious. Okay? Shaila is, when the Jew gets it back after Pesach, the one who sent this Jew, is it Chomet She'olov Pesach, which is also Bahana or not?
Why not? Either way, the Baruch Shah that you own.
Okay? We'll see. Let me introduce you to Gemara and Bavmitsi. Gemara and Bavmitsi says like this, three, we have to get clear the rules. Atanya biyoto, eni yoto gaga chater kafarafim menayim. I know you can steal. A ganav wants to steal, he picks up with his hands. Can a ganav steal without picking up hands? He has somebody's item, which is not his, in his chotzer. And he instructs his chotzer, steal this for me. Acquire it for me so I become a ganav.
What do you mean? It got there by itself?
It says, it got there.
He didn't get it here.
Yeah. That's a big
instructs. Yeah, they listen to what I'm saying. Reuben wants to be a gunner. He doesn't pick up the item to steal. He instructs his chotzer. Please steal this item for me. Okay? I'm saying in English so you understand.
Yeah.
Bitcoin. Make me into a gunner. How do you know it works? It's how can make things a gunner. It does. Oh, Talmud Loma, he wants to motzah. Mikol Mokum. It's haka, yeah. Got a posik, it says. You can become a gunner even if you don't pick it up. You can become a gunner if you use your chotzer to acquire something which is not yours. To be a gunner, it also works. So Gemara has a question. I always thought, says the Gemara, that how does your chotzer acquire things for you? Generally, others work, because the chotz is like an agent for you. He's an agent. He represents you. Let's just read the Gemara. Don't argue, Gemara. It came, Metzina Shliach L'Tavavir. So if so, if a chotz is an agent, I can find a case where an agent does an avera for you, and it's related to you. Normally you say, Ein Shliach L'Tavavir, whoever does it has nothing to do with it, even though I gave instructions. The guy who did it is an avera, not me. Here we got a case where the agent I instruct to do an avera, and it's taka related to this. I did it, not the avera. Oh, we normally have a cloud, says the Gemara. Ein Shliach L'Tavavir. It's nothing to do with me. Why, says the Gemara? Why over here does you become a ganav?
Because you own the chatz.
So, but the chatz is an agent. If we've got a rule, I just got math to answer the question. Agent for an avera doesn't mean it's me, the chlav, doing it. I instruct, it's nothing to do with me. Here, I instruct my chotzer, which is an agent, to do avera, and it is me. I'm now a ganav. How does it work? The Gemara's question. Why?
With no doubt.
That might be an answer. You can't say no. A regular shliach is yes or no.
So the last question is, halachic, he's looked as an agent, and if so, you see that an agent could be doing a favor for you. So why is this agent different from all other agents? Why is this? The agent different from all other agents? That's the question of the Gemara. Okay. So it does.
It's not also for the chotzer to steal. It's not a person.
So also, okay. No, that's all the Gemara says. The Gemara says he is an agent. He is the agent. But it says a type of agent which can do affairs for you. Normally the agent can't. But what makes it able to do affairs for you? So we've given two svaras out from one side to the other. From Mizrach to Maariv, we've got two different svaras. And both of them are correct, because both of them are said in the Gemara. Let's read it in the Gemara. Aleph. Three Aleph. Omer Ravina. Hecha domen shenach aver. When do we say agent can't act as a veris? Hecha teshliach bach yubehu. Ava bachotz lebach yubehu mechaev shucha. And Matzis, the Maariv site. Ravina says, when can an agent not do a veir for you? That's when the agent has an issa to do it, just like you, and he does it, so it's his veir, nothing to do with it. But if the agent has no issa to do it, then when he does it, then it's me who sent him. It's my veir. So a chotzer, has he gotten a veira? The chotzer got an avera, like Matzah says. Chotzer has no avera. So if I send a chotzer as my agent to do a avera, since the person, the agent doing a avera in this case, is not doing any avera, it taka relates to me who sent him. That's the first text. Now we're going to see Mizrach Teretz. Rab Sama Omer, I say different reasoning. Heicha domen shenayach tavera, heicha bi'ovit, bi'ovit. When do we say shenayach tavera? That's when the agent has a choice, an option to decide. Should I do it, or should I not do it? It's not automatic. He says, I may do it, I may not do it. So then we say, well, you made the decision. So then, it's you who's doing it, nothing to do with me. But, the bar kocha, can't say yes or no. Like Eric's words, it just has to do it whether he likes it or not. Then even if it's an avera, it relates to the person who is sending it. He has no bechira, no das, then of course it's related to the person who sends it. It's called shlichus bar kocha. Okay. And that's our Mizrach
text. The first answer relates to the goy.
So now let's read it back to Arkis. So Arkis, let's relate these two options in front of us. I tell a goy to dig a hole which is an avera in Rishus Rabbim. For the goy to do it is not an avera, because he's following the rules of the law, which she covers him, but doesn't cover him with the three Hilchus Torah. Torah has more higher requirements. So I'm sending him to do a veil which is a veil for me, not for him. Do we relate that hole which is done, which is the veil, to me who sent him or not?
Ravina would say yes, and Rashi would say no.
If you say it relates to me, whenever the person who's performing it has no avera, then it relates to me, like the first teretz, the Marav teretz. So therefore, the first teretz has nothing to do with us. First teretz has to do with, he's doing avera, the guy's doing it. No, sorry, the boy's not doing avera. So if the boy's not doing avera, then it relates to the person who sent him. But if you go according to the second teretz that says that it only can relate to me if the guy I'm sending has no bechira, no option to say yes or no. A goy, can he say yes or can he say no?
Yes.
So therefore it will never apply to me. So it should be totally on our answers in the Gemara, our Mizrach and our Marav answers, whether the goy is digging the hole, is me digging the hole or not. Okay, so what do we halachically paskin? So if you look at four aleph and base, we have a machlokas. Yeah, in Shulchan Aruch we have a machlokas. Says the Ramah, everything a shliach acts on your behalf. Chutzman the bear, except for when it's a bear. The karma ain't shliach the bear. He can't be do a bear for you. But dafka shliach b'chiyuva. When can an agent not do a bear? When he himself is doing the avera. But if he, by doing it, is not doing an avera, then he can act as the agent for you, and you've got the avera. Even though he's got bechira, it's your avera, because for him it's not a avera. That's like Amarav teretz, and that's like Ravina's teretz in the Gemara. Says the Shach straight away, I don't understand what the Ramah is saying. Can you look at what they were showing him? To Esh Lekayim on Kol Samah, we paskin like the Ava Teretz, our Mizrach Teretz in the Gemara. Rav Samah. So it's totally whether he's got Bechira or not. It's not totally whether he's got Bechira or not, it's according to Bechira. And since he's got Bechira, it can never be as if related to the guy who sent him.
So
it's a Machlokas, not only in the Gemara, not only by us, our Mizrach Marif. It's also machlokas in Shulchan Aruch and the Shach whether you can act on behalf, do someone thing, and the Avera, can a Baal Bechira do an Avera on behalf of somebody else when for him it's not an Avera? Does it relate? It seems to be a machlokas.
I'm not so sure.
If it's a machlokas and you want to get money and say, I want to get money because it's your hole, because you sent him. Can't. Because machlokas. Machlokas. Can't get money from you. I have to go out after the Muhammad. Can't go after the guy who employed Muhammad in such a case.
Is it a Kimli?
It's a Kimli?
I'm not so sure Ravina and Hassam are arguing.
They are? I mean, the Shach and Ramah understood that argument. Maybe
Ramah didn't say they're arguing. The Shach is wondering how the Ramah could say that if they're arguing. I think they're not arguing because both of them are drawing on the reason for Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, which is Dibrei Arava, Dibrei Tavon, Dibrei Mishamen, and that would not apply in either case. Whether he's not a Bar Chiyuva, he has no choice.
The Shach is for sure understanding the Ramah's arguing, and he says, I don't understand him really saying that, because it's not true. The Sivas actually brings down, there's a Machlokas, okay, you want to say, there's no Machlokas, right? Okay. So, now, what's our din? That's the din by the hole, which is dug by the goy. Let's go back to the whiskey bottle. I send a guy to buy a whiskey bottle for me on Pesach, and he's going to bring it to me after Pesach because he's going on the plane. He's an irreligious Jew. I want to know now, afterwards, is it Chomet Sho'olov or Pesach? Jew to Jew. Jew bought whiskey. Chomets on Pesach.
Is it?
Yes, he bought it on Pesach. He's keeping it till after Pesach and delivering it after Pesach. Is it Chomets Sho'olov or Pesach? What's the Shaila? Yeah? Jew? What's the Shaila? Belongs to Jew. Shaila is like this. Based on the Gemara and Baba Kama. Number 5. Lokeach Lechitzim Velokeach Menser. I send someone to buy wheat and he buys barley. If it goes down in value, the agent has to take the loss. If it goes up, then we share the profit. But we discussed this once before, we're not going to go into that detail. Now, the next words I'm very interested in. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. You're not a gazan if you just don't follow instructions. So, Machaki Olamara for the Rabbi Yochanan. That just because you don't follow instructions doesn't mean it's yours and your cousin. Even if you don't follow instructions, it still belongs to the person who sent you. So, Machaki Olamara for the Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbi Yehuda. Marava, people in Eretz Yisrael or Rabbanim Eretz Yisrael have a big problem with this statement. And they say the following words. Chimi hodiyu lebala chitin shekona chitin lebala mos. Sheyikna chitin lebala mos. The guy selling you this item, the seller, how does he know that you're buying on behalf of somebody else? He thinks he's selling it to you. You, the agent. You, the agent, comes to him with money. You buy it. He thinks you're selling it to him. Oh. How does that affect? So it says, Tosis, what does it mean? I sent you to buy wheat. You bought... What did you buy?
Barley.
Do I want you barley? Okay. So... So Balamas lo kona. So therefore, the one who sent you hasn't acquired. Veshliach nami lo kona. And also the agent hasn't acquired. Why shlo niskabin liknos leatzmo? Because he never intended to acquire it for himself. He was intending to acquire it for the person who sent him, and therefore. The end of the day, he didn't acquire it for the rest of us because he doesn't want it. So, he did. The person sent him didn't acquire it. And he himself didn't acquire it because he wasn't doing it for himself. It belongs to the seller. It never left the seller's possession.
That makes it worse.
Yeah, but it's the guy's name.
Now, if we got a rule, based on this rule, Reb Kiva Eger says a brings down a halacha that's related to our case of the cholis. I send somebody to buy an item for me, and it doesn't work to buy for me, does it? The person who's the agent, does it belong to him? What does Tosis say?
No.
That's what the Tosis is saying. Whenever the agent is working and having kavana for the person who's been sent, and it doesn't work for the person who's been sent, then it also doesn't own for the agent. Okay? Now, how's that got to do with our case of the chometz? I sent this irreligious Jew to buy chometz on Pesach for who? Who's he buying this whiskey bottle for? For the frum guy. Is he mechaven for himself?
No.
So is he kona, this guy?
No.
Is the person who sent him kona?
No.
Yes or no?
No.
His das is waiting after Pesach.
No. No. He said, I sent him to buy the whiskey bottle. What am I sending him to do?
An aveira.
Can an agent work for me to do an aveira? Can an agent be sent and do an aveira for me?
Not here, he's a bar
and
for you.
Relate to me?
He's a bar for you, but
I also to ask whiskey. He bought whiskey. I want it to belong to me. He's mechavim for me. Under normal circumstances, it's mine. But the problem is, I'm telling him to do an aveira. So is it mine or not? I told him to do an aveira. Is it mine?
Well, if it's consistent with the other case, then it belongs to the seller and not to either of...
Only if it doesn't belong to the person who sent it.
That's right.
What makes it not belong to the sender? only because of the concept of Ein Shliach Tavareh. Is Ein Shliach Tavareh applicable here
it's
or not?
A bit of a catch. Yeah.
Is it applicable here or not?
Yes, it's a bar for you, but any of the bar does. It's not true.
It's a catch 22 situation. Because if you say it's an Aveira, which means he was not Kona, then he didn't do an Aveira. And if he didn't do an Aveira, he could be Kona. That's what? Called the catch 22.
What do you say? Say again.
If you say he did, if you say he wasn't Kona, then he didn't do any Aveira.
What was stopping
him? Any Aveira, he can be Kona.
That's always Shabbat Shiva. But what will stop? What will stop it? It has to be under the principles of Ancient Tavera. Does the principles of Ancient Tavera apply in this case? We say there are exceptions. Sometimes you can make a Shiach and an Aveira. When is it? We had our Mizrach definition. We had a Marv definition of when you can make a Shiach do an Aveira for you.
From my side, only if he does it is not a Bardas.
Is he a Bardas?
Yes.
Is he a Bardas?
He
doesn't know. He could say no. For other reasons, not because of their reasons. He could say no. He's not a chotzer. He can't have any thoughtful factions. He's definitely a badass. So therefore, you would have the concept in Shidavavah. But what about the other opinion? The opinion of Amnard of Side over here. He says he's a Bachiyuva. Is he a Bachiyuva?
He is a Bachiyuva.
But he's still a Bachiyuva. He might have a Kippur. He's a Bachiyuva.
If he has a din of a goy, like in Poland,
that's a great matter of being doing a virus. But is he called a Bach Yuva? Not so poshut.
Why?
Not so poshut.
Why?
Because.
Oh, he's not going to drink it.
He's still not allowed to own it.
Not so poshut. Why is it not so poshut?
Because his kavanah is not for himself.
It's not kavanah for himself.
Oh, so this is the problem with
his kavanah is not for himself.
Right.
Yes. The actual action of buying comments is the osah on Pesach?
Yes.
For somebody else?
Yes.
Why?
Because the Torah places it in your Rishut, even though it's not in your Rishut.
No, who's Rishut? Have I done it, Issa?
If I bring it into my
house. Of buying it for somebody else. What, have I done it, Issa, of Chometz? Of buying it.
Buy your matzah. Buy your own matzah.
Have I?
Yes.
The Shia.
If you bring it into your Rishut.
Have I?
Yes, you have. If you bring it into your Rishut, even the Torah says you don't own it. You can't own it.
I have no achlayas on it.
You can't have achlayas on it. There's no way you own it.
Hold on. A goy puts chometz in your house on Pesach, and you say, nothing of chayse, no chayse, nothing, not a single word of a chayse. Have I done chometz issa?
No, because the goy put it in your house. If you put it in your house, there's a different story.
No, by your own mouth. I'm afraid you haven't learned the Hilchos chometz on Pesach.
I did, but
there is issa or not.
There's no issa.
There's issa or not.
Why? But so I haven't done the issa. I haven't done the issa.
He's benefiting.
I haven't done an issa of chometz by buying it, not if I'm not the right person.
You're talking about a different kind of issa. He's talking about issa of chometz. That hasn't been done.
You are
saying
fine, but what's the Ein Shliach Tavareh? It means I'm doing an action which is an Aveira action. Me! It's not an Aveira action. I can't have a law, fine.
So it's not Aveira action.
Lifnei Aveira is always, I mean, still that doesn't destroy Ein Shliach Tavareh. Lifnei Aveira doesn't destroy anything. By definition, it doesn't destroy anything. So therefore, according to our Mizrach side, there's Ein Shliach Tavareh. According to our Marav side, he hasn't done any Aveda, and therefore it should relate to the guy. It should be Kona.
I'm saying he's
he should be Kona.
For the guy that is
don't talk now. Now's on time to talk. Says Rav Kiva Eker, since it's a machlokus, in such a case, number six. But Konai de Mumma, if you ask the Mumma to acquire for you, in Omen, Mumma, the Shliach, Ein Shliach Tavareh, but the Kon Yisrael, On one side of the coin, you say Ein Shliach Tov Aver. On one side of the coin. And also the Mumma himself is not Kona because he didn't Machaven for himself. And therefore, this Chometz doesn't belong to any Jew. If so, Im Ein Shliach Tov Aver, have a Chometz Hefka. It's like the Chometz is Hefka. No Jew owns it. On Pesach.
It still belongs to the
guy. The guy, he's Miayesh from it. He's Hefka. Yeah, he's got his money, he's Hefka. V'lo Ova, v'lo Yisrael, v'lo Mumma. The Yisrael didn't over Avera because he never acquired. The one that sent him didn't over Avera because he never acquired it. Because Ein Shliach Aver, according to one side of the coin, your side of the coin, Ein Shliach Aver, it's not his, Baklav. And the Mumma, he also didn't acquire because he didn't machaven for himself. So it's Hefka. So it's Chometz, which is Hefka, the Pesach. You can use it after Pesach. Aye, but according to the other side of the coin, it's called a Shliach, even for Avera, because I sent somebody for who's not doing Avera, but it's a Machlokas. What's the Issa of Chometz Sha'ovel of Pesach? Is the Daraisa or is the Drabonim? The Issa after Pesach.
After Pesach.
So it's a Sophic Issa Drabonim. Sophic Issa Drabonim is Mutsa, says Rokiba Eger. So this whiskey bottle, halachically is Mutsa. Because according to one opinion, no one owns it. According to your Mizrach side, no one owns it. According to my side, the one who sent it did own it. Mizrach says it's no Chometz of Israel, it's Chometz of Hefka, so it's Mutar after Pesach. Marav side says it's a Chometz belonging to Israel, the one who sent it, it's also. But Machlokas, Sophic to Rabbanan, Kula, okay.
We can add one more thing. That when the money, we hold by Metalkin, money is not coin. And therefore, again, it's even though the guy
with
left
the goy, only money is Kona. Only money is Kona.
That's not Machlokas. What's Kinyan is by goy?
No, okay. Whether or not we're responsible with that Machlokas.
Okay, doesn't matter. The goy is not his money. Who said it?
It was Halal, wasn't it? Say it.
So the sender over to Shiloh?
Okay.
Is the sender over to Shiloh for sending him?
If no one's open, Sophic. Okay, that's the stack of our whiskey bottle. Okay, we've got stack of our hole this week. That's done by the Muhammad. And we've got our stack of the whiskey bottle. Now, what's it got to do with our Shaila? Our Shaila, let us repeat what the Shaila is of Rameh Bransdorf. The government's money. Government money. Going back to government money. Let's focus there. Government money. Remember, as Zohar says, called entity, not human. Go is the Gezel or Muzik, maybe. But on the other hand, that seems to be what Rav Nissen Karetz also says, because he says you can take interest from the government, because they're an entity, not human. But on the other hand, entity. It doesn't belong to human at all. On the other hand, when Nissen Karetz spoke out, it's awesome to steal money from the government. Why? What's the difference? Money from the government is no issurim on it, because it belongs to non-humans. That's what you yourself said by Rivers. Stira. Now I want to give you a terrace, which changes the whole Peshat of Rameh Bransdorfer. I'll read out the words of Rameh Bransdorfer himself, and you have to guess the teretz, and that's where we'll finish tonight. Says Rameh Bransdorfer, number 7. Carbon Sibyl. We know a carbon, which is bought on behalf of Klal Yisrael, carbon Sibyl, belongs to the whole of Klal Yisrael, the individuals. Shkolech of Yisrael, Shokei Shoko, everyone gives their shekel. Coming up. And they buy together with their shekel the carbon sibyl. It belongs now. Now everyone in Klal Yisrael has a chelik in it. Okay, that seems to be against what I'm saying. I'm saying there's no such thing as belonging to Klal Yisrael. I say anything that belongs to Klal Yisrael is an entity, it's not human. You see from this halacha, that belongs to Kaiser. Should the Baal Sarah Brasi lo nifka? It seems to be saying it belongs to the, like Ramosha Fashab. You see to say state money is Jewish, the people's money. That seems to be saying. No, no, no. That's different, says, for my case of the grain. Can't ask for that. Why? Nidin Zon, She'ein Yechidim Shabamidin Shum Chelet Bekninis Achidim Abalisadus. The people weren't involved in the decision making of buying the grain.
Which people?
The people of the country were not involved in the decision, in the decision making of the country. Rega. Only the government decided. In Cain Eich Yatoch, and therefore in such a case, there's no ownership for the people. Because they weren't involved in deciding what to buy, therefore there's no ownership for the people. So now, so what? Yes? That's all points. They make, yes, yes, that's what they make. Hachrosa. Hachrosa just before Rosh Chodesh Adar, and that's why you have Pasha Shekolim to remind us of this. We need to collect from you the Shekolim in order to buy all the carbon and silver for the whole year. I'm appointing you with my money to be used for Zimbabwe purpose, and you're doing it. So that's the discussion over here. This is a just. Everybody agrees. Money given to the government is people's money. Is the government then take that money and decide to do things with it for the government?
For the people.
Fine, that's the eventual thing, but they're buying at the moment, they're buying the grain, and it's now great government grain, they haven't yet given to the people. That requirement of the grain is not related to the people. The grain is not related to the people. Why? Because that governments can't make decisions on my behalf, says Mayor Brandstorfer. I have no problem in that money of the government belongs to the people. I agree money of the government belongs to the people. And that's why Reb Nissen Karelit says, if you steal the money from the government, you're stealing from the people. Even Mayor Brandstorfer says you're stealing from the people. There's no one on the right say will say, I want to use Roman Brandorfer to not be over Issa Gezel. I'm going to lie to the government to get extra money for them. And it's not Gezel because I'm stealing from the entity. No, money of the government belongs to the people and you're stealing, as Reverend Issa Credit says for them. But what they decide to use the money on, and they acquire, and haven't yet given over to the people, that which they acquire, that doesn't belong to the people.
Wait a minute.
Why? Because they can't make the decisions. They have no right to make the decisions. What is mine? What it belongs to the people.
People have appointed them to make decisions.
But the people have so them now we're getting closer to dinners and malchus and dinners. Now we're getting okay. I'm just giving you. I'm helping. I'm getting out. I've now taken Romer Brandstorfer's shitta over the weeks, and I have actually defines it into a very minute example of where it's applicable. Everyone thought at the beginning that he's saying, anything to do with governments, ownership, even streets and everything is no problem, Gezel. Streets already knocked out last week. Streets and parks, public are using, definitely belongs to the people. And this week we've knocked out the concept of government money, that's what Romer Brandstorfer is thinking about. That's what he's saying, is not human ownership. No, he agrees, as Reb Nissen puts that, government money is also people's money. Still that you're stealing. What is he now concentrating on is the use of that money by the government to buy items. Those items doesn't come under the ownership. Under what concept? Because does the government intend to buy it for themselves or for the people?
For the people.
For the people. The people actually acquire it, says Romer Brandstorfer, for some reason. It's like Shliach Davar type of thing. Yeah? That Shliach Davar type of thing. They can't acquire things from me. So the people don't acquire it. People don't acquire it. So therefore, what happens if this agent acquire something for the person who he thinks he's representing, and it doesn't go to the people he's representing, who does it belong to? What's the status of the item that he's bought? He's bought an item, not for him, for somebody else, which it doesn't go to the other person. What's the status? What do you say? Hefker, that's what Rabbi Brand Silver is saying. Hefker, no one's got ownership on that.
So you can steal it.
Wait a minute.
On that item, maybe that's what he's saying. Only on that item. It's not on the people's publics, it's on people's money, but on the items which they bought. Yeah? And if you look at Renison Karelis' words, he says, the money belongs to the people. What's going to happen in the time of the Beis HaMikdash? The time of the Beis HaMikdash is we're going to change the Gaboyim from being Gaboyim which are not suitable to represent the people, to the Gaboyim which can represent the people. That's what we're going to turn this on this mission. So therefore we now fitted everything in at this stage. We fitted everything in the definition of this. Rameh Brand's office Shitta is very minute definition. Mr. Shen, next week we'll go weiter onwards tonight.
Yes.
What?